Scott Warren, a volunteer with the humanitarian group No More Deaths, was recently acquitted of charges of harboring migrants at the Arizona border. The jury, the second to hear his case, took just 2 hours to determine he was not guilty, dealing a blow to the Trump administration's crackdown on border activists. Warren is not currently granting interviews, according to a No More Deaths spokesperson, but after the verdict handed down on November 20th, Warren said in a statement, quote, "Let's all take a deep breath, get some rest, and be ready for and open to whatever comes next," end quote. In short, some see the verdict as an affirmation of No More Deaths' work over the years. I recently sat down with Paige Korich Klein, a volunteer since 2013, and now the organization's media coordinator. I began by asking about how she and her No More Deaths colleagues reacted to the Warren acquittal.
I mean, I can think back to the day in January 2017 when Scott was initially arrested, and we had just released a video of Border Patrol agents destroying water gallons with a report talking about how that practice is really widespread. And so I think with the initial arrest, it was kind of a pretty scary moment where we just saw the government kind of retaliating against our organization for criticizing the agency. And so that was a pretty scary moment. And we were really unsure how far it was going to go. And we initially thought that they would drop the charges eventually, but they took him to trial twice. There was a mistrial in June, and then we just got this acquittal a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I think we're all pretty excited and happy about the acquittal, but also just kind of reflecting on the past 2 years and how much energy has had to go into this and, you know, figuring out what's next.
When you mentioned the last couple of years and all the energy put into that, do you anticipate, or has it already had a broader impact on the group, not necessarily the mission, but how people involved feel about the mission and the challenges going forward, whether it's from the DOJ or other people?
It's interesting. I mean, I think, you know, it's definitely been a lot of work that's gone into this like kind of political legal defense campaign, but it also has really widened our network of support and our platform. So, you know, like a lot more people are looking at our organization, supporting us and wanting to come out to volunteer with us. And so in some ways it's benefited the work in certain aspects, but I think it also has been difficult. And I think moving forward, the acquittal is huge, but one thing that kind of got overshadowed is Scott was also facing misdemeanor charges for a bench trial he had in May. It was being seen by the same judge, and the judge passed down a verdict the same day as the acquittal. And part of that verdict was dropping charges against Scott for leaving food and water on Cabeza Prieta National Wildlife Refuge and dropping those charges based on a religious freedom claim. And so we're kind of interested in what are the possibilities of using these religious freedom defenses to support and protect our work. The specific act was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, also known as RFRA, which has mostly been used by the Christian right, but we had this really huge win that was really overshadowed by the acquittal, but in some ways is even more historic.
Can you give us more detail about how the group may be thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're asking a lot of questions of, you know, of Scott's lawyers and the other volunteers that were convicted of leaving water, basically doing the same thing that Scott did, used a similar defense and were found guilty and were currently appealing that decision. And so recently the lawyer, Ann Chapman, who's working on that case, was able to file some additional information based on Judge Collins's ruling of RFRA. The judge that oversaw the other trial was a different judge, Judge Velasco, and he retired. So we're kind of, I mean, we're hoping that it'll affect the appeal for this other case that was pretty similar. And yeah, I think there's just a lot of questions about what it can mean. And I mean, honestly, there's not much strategy to give away because we haven't figured it out yet. So
this event with Scott, the trials that he had to go to and the energy, as you said, the group went through, it offered more publicity to the group. Can that be a positive in some sense, that even more people know about the message and the group?
Yeah, I think it definitely can. I mean, I look at the ways that we've expanded over the past 2 years, and it really reflects a lot of the things that we said we wanted to do when we had kind of a revisioning process 4 or 5 years ago. But the influx of media attention and also donations really allowed us to expand our work. So while some of us were kind of taken out of the field, a lot of other people have really stepped up. So we've been able to expand our system of water drops in the West Desert around Ajo. And then we also have been able to hire staff to run a 24-hour missing migrant hotline. So we've been able to amplify our search and rescue efforts as well. So, you know, I think there are kind of like two sides to it, and but I'm pretty proud of the things that we've been able to accomplish and the ways we've been able to expand.
Is there any fear among the organization that this could happen again to someone other than Scott? The verdict might not be the same, or were there lessons learned based on how this judge and this jury acted?
I mean, I think in some ways it really kind of validated a lot of the work that we've been doing for years, because we have a set of protocols that we use, and those really held up in court and really were able to confirm and show the jurors that, contrary to what the government was trying to say, we're not a smuggling operation using humanitarian aid as a kind of a smokescreen. That's some of the words of the prosecutor in closing arguments, but like the work that we're doing in a transparent way really, I think, held up, and that was exciting.
I mean, you've been involved in the desert aid work for a number of years. When you talk with folks who don't know or don't understand or disagree with you, can you tell me how you explain it to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of just always go back to our mission statement, and that's to end death and suffering. And I think I've had one moment where somebody kind of implied to me that they thought that somebody who crossed the border deserved to die in the desert. But other than that, I think everybody, no matter what their political belief is, doesn't think that crossing the border should be a death sentence. When you get into kind of the nitty gritty, you can kind of sometimes arrive at different conclusions. But, you know, I think our work is never to encourage anybody to cross the border. We actively try to communicate with people what the potential risks are and ways that they can try to self-rescue and keep themselves safe if they get into a dangerous situation. But our role has never been and will never be to tell people what to do or encourage people to make decisions for themselves. We're just there to try to do as much harm reduction as we can.
That is Paige Quaritch-Klein. She is media coordinator for the group No More Deaths. Paige, thank you for the time.
Yeah, thank you so much.